They are the dominant mercantile and military force on the planet.
But wait! There is one empty seat at the table.
Bonjour, Canada. Good day. Gothendai in Iceland and Newfoundland listeners, we're back for the last half hour. On today's show, the blind medium on the dumb medium. The headlong rush towards the cliff of youthful listeners. And pre-docking with Canada, what did it look like to Newfoundlanders before Confederation? All this for you, with me, on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Seven. 28, 29, down again these many steps, down to the vault, subterranean dead letter office for the taped proceedings of this very radio service. 7, 8, 39. Boss, kingpin, head in chief of our eternal archival enterprise is Ish Lundrigan, who is also and primarily our director of radio. It's a long way down, Ish.
When you start at the top, Paul.
Set the beam high.
Watch your head.
Today's special?
As this year will mark the 50th anniversary of Newfoundland's Confederation with Canada, I invite you, Paul, and all our listeners to join in celebrating the... Smile, boy, it's a celebration.
Whoopee.
I hope you're not one of those Confederation naysayers.
No, sir, not me. I love this great country from Bonavista to Vancouver Island and the Arctic Circle of the Great Lake Waters. You know something, Ish?
What?
This land was made for you and me.
Listen carefully, my charge. Sarcasm is prohibited, reconfed this year.
Says who?
It's from on high.
Yeah, sure.
Read.
Oh, dear.
To mark the anniversary, we'll be playing selections of VCN coverage of the debate as to whether or not the once island dominion should become a province of Canada.
Well, are you sure about this?
Why?
My understanding is the BCN came down pretty clearly on the anti-Confederate side.
Nonsense. We were a pillar of objectivity.
You've previewed this tape?
No need. Look, from the spring of 1948, here's the first in Ron Gallatly's Close Up on Confederation series.
Canada, land of the silver birch, home of the beaver. But behind this peaceful Arcadian facade is another Canada. A nation trying to shed the savage passions of youth. On the banks of the Rideau River, in the village of Outewa, Prime Minister Laurier and the provincial premiers engage in a political ritual known as potlatch. The premiers present offerings of natural resources. The leader of the Saskatchewans brings a gift of wheat. The chief of the Payeeis, a spud. The Prime Minister invites them into the Parliamentary Longhouse to sign treaties of friendship and cooperation. But wait! There is one empty seat at the table. Downriver, Premier Maurice Boom Boom Duplessis meets separately with spiritual advisors from the papacy to plan the expansion of the French Roman Catholic province of Quebec.
Oui, oui, c'est ça, il faut expander.
A brawny, fertile Roman Catholic people, with families of 15 and 20, not uncommon, this Roman Catholic race of lusty farmhands is bursting its territorial borders. But the route west is blocked by the Presbyterian fortress of Ontario. And so their eyes turn eastward to the untapped bounty of Newfoundland and its northern money pouch, Labrador. Here, under the direction of the Vatican, the French Catholic race can breed freely, expanding their gene pool beyond...
That's not quite how I remembered it.
Well, a bit slanted, maybe-ish, but it does show that even back then, Canada was divided between the two platitudes.
True, Ron had a way of revealing some essential truths, even in his most blatant agitprop pieces.
And it only makes sense that there'd be anti-Canada sentiments here at the station, with a confederation coming, the BCN, a national broadcaster, reduced to a rump service, a shell of its former self. not to say that, you know, there aren't programs of some merit produced here.
Arrangements were made. Sure, the last half hour of this show is carried by the CDC.
And everybody is the happier for that.
Well, more on that later in private. Mm-hmm. Indeed, what anti-Confederate sentiment that was left after the Anschluss was soon crushed.
Is there a problem with BC and CBC relations?
Later, Paul. Yes, those that clung to the dream of the Newfoundland nation were intimidated and had their families threatened and so on until silence.
We're going to be on the CBC again next year, though, aren't we?
A few that continue to grow civil confederation are lunatic fringers, perpetual malcontents, coffeehouse rebels. It's not looking good, Paul. Besides, we got the railway, the national dream, hey?
But our railway predates Confederation, and they hauled it up anyway.
Regional service by the BCN continued after Confederation, Paul, and regional service will continue evermore.
With the regional rates being paid, no doubt.
I keep copies of the old contracts down here, Paul, in the vault.
Thank you, Minister.
My pleasure.
Oh, one more thing.
Yes.
These travel expense claims for a trip to Aruba?
Show trial with Ariel Flint.
Oh, I was attending an important international conference.
Well, is this your assistant in the photograph?
Fred Burns.
Well, Fred looks great in a thong.
The trap is set.
Oh, her. Come on. The conference was in Arabanian. I had to hire an interpreter, you know.
Someone proficient in the local tongue.
Show trial. Justice in action.
Oh, I get it. This is a shakedown. There's plenty of money for you. There's money for your producer.
It's futile, Minister. The door to show trial is locked from the outside.
Please don't tell my wife's father!
Show trial with Ariel Flint. Tuesday nights at 8, only on BCN.
He jests at tones that never heard a note. But soft, what sound through yonder speaker breaks? It is the East, and the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest. Arise, fair contest, and kill the envious blare. Yes, it is once more time for the game show that keeps all its balls in the air all the time. Hollis Duffett, custodian of everything Sonic, get on one now, and let us hear what it is it's all about. Sound, glorious sound. Nothing quite as comforting, eh? So let's sample one of the hundreds of guesses you have collectively blizzarded it from the BCN offices here. And attached to the end of my arm here, I see an envelope. And it comes to us from Vancouver in beautiful... Jesus, every place in this country beautiful? I guess so. Anyway, it's from Rick Taylor of Van Man, and Rick writes, I easily recognized the existential moan of drag a rope being pulled taut by a stern trawler snuggling against the wharf. Hollis Duffett is our referee, and Hollis, what say you? No. Sorry about that, Rick. It is not ropes, draggers, or anything snuggling against a wharf. Now, we don't often do this here, but, well, you are all seemingly going off in such a wrong direction with this boat and ropes thing. And let me explain that while we don't look into all the envelopes that come into the contest, someone has to print out all the emails. And to date, it has been noted unofficially that we have over 300 guesses nautical. And, I'm not sure... Have we ever before given a hint on the contest? We have? Oh, we have. Okay, well, let me give you another. The sound, and this is fair to say, is it, Mr. Duffett, the only person who knows what it is? The sound has nothing to do with boats, ropes, or wharves. Is that too much? No, good. Get a pen and paper ready. I'll give you our contest address in a moment. Please, Hollis, sir, can I hear some more? Send off a postcard or a letter immediately to the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest. Care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5. Or you can email your entry to greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. It was love from the very beginning. Newfoundland harpist meets Paraguayan harp. This is the result. From her CD, Hear the Tides Flow, this is Gail Tapper with Henry Rojo on vocals and Guacamaya.
Una pinta guaca. Maya le dijo a la colorada, ay, qué lástima me das, ay, qué lástima me das. Se acabaron las pitayas, ahora sí que comerás. Pobrecita guacamaya, pobrecita guacamaya.
Quite a bit of noise, I guess, in the national media lately about Newfoundland domination of Canadian television. The television critic from the... what's that right-wing paper?
That would be the National Post, Paul.
No. The other right-wing paper.
The Globe and Mail.
The Globe and Mail, that's it. The television critic from the Globe even going so far as to suggest that in the case of the CBC, Newfoundland talent and subjects were preoccupying the network at the expense of cultural product from the United States. Joining me to discuss this very, very serious matter is the television critic for the St. John's Daily Telegraph, Nick Mustelet.
Yeah, well, I'd like to clarify right at the top that I'm not by vocation a television critic, Paul.
No?
I'm doing it now while I continue to work on my novel. You know, actually, it's an epic prose poem. Call it a novel.
Sure.
I'm no fan of television. I mean, mostly it's contemptible dreck. It's beneath me to be doing it.
Yeah.
But it's only a matter of time.
Get over it, Nick. Now, is there any substance to these claims of a Newfoundland media domination?
Well, in pure numbers, I think there's a case. At the CBC, you've got Wendy Mesley,
right.
Ian Hanuman Singh, Luba Goy.
I went to school with Luba Goy.
Hannah Gardner, Ron McLean, they're all Newfoundlanders.
This is true, but who would know, Nick? They never give it away. You know, there's none of that arnar, none of that right on.
Yes, well, I don't want to come off as a bigot here or anything, but there are certain physical traits. Mm. Their gait, twitches of the head, particularly that affirmative flick and wink thing that
right.
afflicts so many Newfoundlanders. You
yeah,
see
that's
that?
Right. But Ron McLean is particularly bad for that, but then he's from Fogo, huh?
Yeah. The bigger problem, really, are the television shows themselves, the preoccupation with Newfoundland subject matter.
Like what?
Well, you've got NFPD Blue, Southside Hills A1E1A7.
The one at the bar?
Beers. There's Baywatch, Ally McStreel, Hee Haw.
The hospital one?
Yeah.
Now, the evidence seems compelling, and God knows we don't get enough American culture in our diet.
Yeah, so it's getting harder and harder to find, on television, magazines, and so on. Mm. And I think we should remember that they are the dominant mercantile and military force on the planet.
We should get to know these... United Stations, I guess they call them?
Yes, that's the term.
We should get to know these United Stations better, lest, owing to some misunderstanding, they inadvertently knock over our government and in the process bomb many of our citizens.
Yeah, it's one of many serious issues.
Now, is this lacuna in contemporary television limited to material from and about the United States, though?
No. We hear almost nothing from Central Canada.
Well, what places are you talking about?
Well, Southern Ontario, primarily.
But for our listeners, that's the area around Toronto.
Yes, and even outside the realm of entertainment, in news, it's a big problem. I don't know if you knew that recently they had a massive snowstorm in Southern Ontario, and that the area was almost shut down for an entire day.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yes.
No.
Are you aware that the French majority in Lower Canada wishes to separate from the country?
Are you serious? You think I would have heard about that?
Well, you're not going to hear anything from west of Port-au-Basque if steps are not taken now to ensure equal representation in the media.
Just a second, Nick. I hope you're not going down the road of government involvement.
In the
media?
Well, Paul, I don't see that there are any other realistic mechanisms, you know.
Well, I would only point to this very network, to the BCN itself, to illustrate where that leads.
I'm not suggesting that the government get involved in the actual production of programming, but simply that through regulation they make sure that voices from America and Central Canada are heard. You know?
I don't know, slippery slope, Nick. If you start with content regulation, the next is water fluoridation, and then the tanks roll into Sudetenland, and then we have a situation everybody regrets. Well, as you yourself said, Nick, Ontario uber alles.
I didn't say that.
Nick Mustelet, television critic with the Daily Telegraph. Thanks for coming in. And go watch TV.
Good afternoon. I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. This evening at 6 on Snark and Anar, more folkways of Hair Bay. Foolish Trousers for Lent, Bullbird Jam, and the game of Randy Rabbit is practiced in Singe Brook. Professor Carlo Zeppitelli traveled to Hair Bay in 1962 and recorded many of the region's folk traditions before the introduction of television, the car, and the Roman alphabet. Back to the Bay on Snark and Anar. Tomorrow night at 11, join Llewellyn Bunt and the gang for the Lumber Yard. This week, the boys at the yard go retro when Herb Costello's daughter wants her new room done 70s style. Llewellyn drives to Goobies to find some rare 1972 vintage green faux wood paneling. Gary finds they've still got half a roll of avocado shag carpet up the warehouse, and Kirby almost ruins himself lifting a tub of stucco. And tune in to Town Beat this Monday at 12:30 for the annual Town Beat Townie Listeners Poll, as host Brendan Henneberry and Donnie Tucker take the city pulse. Is it time to institute regular garbage collection? How best to reallocate profits from the animal control unit? Do you support the mayor's amalgamation ultimatum to brown bagging freeloaders who embrace tax evasion as a way of life? And who's the biggest tool on council? Listen up. Town Speaks this Monday at 12:30. A full schedule of entertaining and informative programming only on BCN 520.
My name is Paul Moss, and you're listening to The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. At least, that's what I thought it was, the cultural magazine.
Maybe it's better to call it a cultural magazine, not the cultural magazine.
I'm introducing this, Adam. I'll only be a minute. In any event, the programming geniuses upstairs, in their endless pursuit of a mythical younger audience, have launched IndieBox, Newfoundland's alternative culture magazine. Now, I find that a provocation.
It was never meant to be.
The host of this alternative program is Ellie Warne. Alternative, that's this decade's Prague, isn't it?
Prague?
It's short for progressive. As in Prague rock, i.e. a little combo called Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Never heard of them.
Oh, come on. Listen, I've seen the lineup for your little show, and as far as I can tell, alternative means the act is scheduled to appear at 10:30 p.m. and maybe, just maybe, it'll hit the stage sometime around midnight.
So?
So I am in bed. I am sleeping. Alternative. As if.
Perhaps it is an age thing.
Oh, so that's it. I'm old, am I?
Well, you just said you're in bed.
How old are you, Ellie?
I'm 24. You?
Me?
Yes.
What?
What?
No matter. Moving along, your show was scheduled...
No, my question. How old are you?
Can't you tell by just looking at me?
48.
I'm 49.
So's my dad, Jerry Warren. Do you know him?
Jerry Warren. Yeah, I do know him. Are you confident, Ellie, that at your age you have the perspective or qualifications to host this kind of show?
Well, I'm finishing my doctoral thesis in comparative literature. Mm. My band's got a CD coming out, and I'm shooting my first feature this summer.
Is that so? Well, I count Paul Rubens among my close personal friends. I used to, anyway. And I did hang, for a time, with Brian Jones. Ex of the Rolling Stones. How would you like to have sex with me, Ellie?
Now that's just a midlife crisis talking, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah. Yeah. So, what's on your show this week?
It's funny we're talking about age.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have a story this week about ageism in dance.
Motivated by the whole Kimberly Glasgow affair.
Yes.
And we were going to do that story, but, well, it looked, after some meetings, like it was going to be a whole lot of work.
We visited the Newfoundland Ballet, which, as it is an artist-run organization, does not face this kind of problem. Hollis?
Age has never been an issue at the Ballet Terneuf Ballet. You see here today Kenneth Green and Lynn Curry rehearsing for our Romeo and Juliet. I can't tell you their ages, but I can say they've been with the company for over 25 years. Oh, watch this. It's a beautiful parcours followed by a grand jeté en avant turning into a flying arabesque right into Kenneth's waiting arms.
Jason, the back! The back!
You broke my hip, you oaf!
Jeez, woman, you're 200 if you're a pound.
Oh, what is alternative about that? We could have very easily done that story.
But you just said that you considered and then dismissed it.
But that's hardly the point. Is it dark in here, really? I can't read my notes.
We're going to the next clip. A brand new club opened up in the new town this week. It's called Nubian Jelly. I went down for the launch and ran into local boy made good Gary Chater, who's living in New York and making pots of money managing hip-hop flavor of the month, Jumbo Tool Boy.
Right you are.
Hollis? Sorry.
Hollis?
Hey, Gary, I heard JTV got shot.
Yeah, see, this other band, 3D Joint, thought that Jumbo was criticizing them in this song he did. So they hired this washed-up rapper, Stoop Scoop Doggy Doo, to kill him. But Stoop Scoop Doggy Doo was so out of it on drugs, he was like smoking Skrink or something. And he emptied an Uzi machine pistol and only hit Jumbo once in the butt.
Oh, he's okay then.
Oh, yeah, he's fine. It's good publicity, too, because Jumbo was kind of washed up. But now we can do a comeback revenge album, you know, like, I'm gonna get you, 3D queer joint. And that'll, like, really sell.
Great.
So check out the Indie Box tonight at 12:30 here on the BCN. We're also gonna do our ka-ching thing with a look at some local Pop-Tarts who are moving a lot of units. And we check out a zine that's dissing a lot of bogus fly cults.
Are they a band?
Who?
Never mind. It's just that I didn't understand anything you just said. Ellie Warren. Jerry's little girl. Gosh. Ellie Warren, host of Indie Box. Thanks for coming in.
Serving the island for over 60 years, BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Youth and its many dalliances lead in circuitous and serpentine routes to the mess in which we find ourselves today. Innocent excursions into the wider world, setting forth from the virginal territories of immaturity, can cast the die for our full sentence as quasi-sentient beings. Some of the activities in which I engaged as a callow boy, and I feel sure some of those in which you participated, do, on reflection, seem ill-advised, stupid, dangerous. One particularly influential force on your scribe was the time I blithely pissed away in the service of Mun Radio, the campus radio station at the Memorial University of Newfoundland. Would I be where I am today? Would I be the person I am? Would I have done everything in between then and now I have done had I not opened a microphone pot on the old McCurdy control board in the Mun Radio studios? We disc jockeys rented basement dives, ingested huge quantities of industrial-strength chemical transports and Kraft macaroni and cheese, discovered tequila, listened to endless hours of terrible rock music, read Plath and Sartre and Chairman Mao, laughed at both Marx's and Lenin's, grew our hair long, razzed the engineer's frat, stuffed Volkswagens, and did our laundry at home. Those were, in a tired but apt cliché, the days. Now that conduit of seasoning, that maturation process, is under serious threat of being squashed through a self-important, short-sighted, Paul Martin-influenced budgetary decision by a bunch of play politicians. The Student Council at Memorial is considering taking Mun Radio off the air, and it is a wrong-headed decision. Mun Radio has produced more quality on- and off-air broadcast people than... And it's completely unfair of those trying to close down the station to use me as some sort of negative example. Mun Radio's presence has been felt in every radio, television, and newspaper office in this province. It developed skills and lifelong addictions that have produced an impact on communications and media second to no other organization that churns out people of the word, the sound, and the picture. It is a most accessible contact between the halls of academe and the sty of society. Mun Radio, a small but important column upon which is built an edifice of progress, the Fourth Estate. Don't remove the plinth for the sake of the volutes. And live to you. It's the only way we know how. Thanks to the tireless efforts of radio boy Hollis Duffett, our engineer, and Ish Lundrigan, our director of radio. Write us, please do. We love getting mail. Our address is care of the BCN, 342 Dockwood Street, St. John's, A1C1H5, or you can reach us on the internet, greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Don't be shy. Check our website for photos, bios, audio, and more. All at www.greateastern.cbc.ca. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next week for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.